Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. I just been
getting in my bed. The commercial appeal is reporting that someone may have been stealing coronavirus vaccine doses.
Lord have mercy.
At the Pipkin building. I suspect it will only be a matter of time before the Shelby County Health Department director retires like Melissa.
What?
Yeah, that is a shame. Rob Doster covers college basketball for the Field of 68. He is the perfect guest at the perfect moment, and he joins us now. Rob, what's up, man?
I just saw your tweet about the vaccines getting stolen. Got that good Pfizer for $600. So I'm trying not to die laughing.
Hey, that's you know what's sad about this, Rob, is that last week. I don't know if you've ever dealt with this, but there was a boiling water advisory in Memphis because of the ice storms and the pressure that the water system in Memphis was sort of under because of busted pipes, whatever. And so you had to boil your water if you were in the city of Memphis to avoid contamination, whatever. And there were people on these Facebook groups who were selling cases of bottled water, you know, for $20 a pack, man. And so that is basically what I'm assuming somebody is going to pop up on Facebook with these Pfizer vaccines and be doing very soon.
I mean, it would not surprise me, man, based off of the interactions that I've seen on Facebook. You can buy anything that you want on Facebook Marketplace.
That's right.
Anything that you want. So, yeah, I got that good Pfizer for $600. That gave me a good laugh, man. That was a good tweet.
$600 a vial if you want that shot. All right, look, today in Memphis, we are very angry. We are very upset about what this league has done to Memphis, Rob. They have rescheduled the Memphis-Houston game. I guess they kept the date, but they moved the game from Memphis to Houston on March 7th. And it doesn't sound like there will be another game made up, whether it be the game that was lost to Wichita State or the first game that was lost to Houston because of Memphis's COVID pause. What do you think of this, and is there an obligation on the league to step in? Because Mike Oresko said that we're going to prioritize our bubble teams like Memphis, like Wichita State, like SMU. Is there an obligation for Mike Oresko to step in and say, guys, if you want to play the game at your place, we can accommodate that, but you need to make up the second game to Memphis? Is there an obligation on Mike Oresko to do that?
Well, if he wants to be true to his word, probably, but I don't know if there's like what he can do beyond that, right? Like, if I'm Houston, I probably don't want to be playing back-to-back games against Memphis. You know, we've seen it over the course of the year. Like, I don't know how much you guys have been paying attention to the back-to-backs when it comes to gambling, but a lot of times the most profitable thing to do is just fade the team that lost the first game or that won the first game for the second game. So if I'm Houston, like, I don't want to play them two straight games. You know, it makes total sense to me they don't want to do it because they got to protect their seed too. But, I mean, if Mike Oresko really wants what's best for the bubble teams, he's not sending Memphis to Houston to play a game that Memphis needs to win to get into the NCAA tournament. So, like, he's full of it if he thinks that anyone's going to believe that he's doing what's best for the bubble teams. But I understand why they're doing it. Like, it's kind of it's what the rules are. It makes sense. Like, you're trying to keep everything fair and by the book and by the rules that you set out at the very beginning. But, you know, he's not doing the best thing for the bubble teams in the conference if he's the only thing that he's changing is giving Memphis a road game against Houston instead of a home game against Houston. That's just like, come on, man. Like, we're not that dumb. We might be dumb, but we're not that dumb.
What really seems odd is, like, they moved up Memphis' South Florida game that's scheduled for Wednesday.
moved it up to Tuesday, the AAC did, with what appeared to be the obvious intention of giving, whether it was Wichita State or Memphis, right, that, I mean, Wichita State or Houston, the opportunity for Memphis to make up a game there between South Florida on a Tuesday, and then obviously they had that game against Houston on Sunday. They moved that game up, and yet now they're not getting a second Houston game, and apparently, at least according to Daniel Lerner, beat writer here for the Daily Memphian, covers Memphis, they're not even going to get the Wichita State game rescheduled in that home. So it goes back to, Rob, well, why'd you move South Florida up? And I guess I would ask you, if it was really about helping bubble teams at this point, hell, why not take South Florida off of Memphis's schedule and say this is where you're going to play Houston or this is where you're going to play Wichita State? They're still making Memphis play the Cincinnati and South Florida games that don't matter at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the real answer should be. Don't add more games to the schedule. These things don't matter. Get them off the schedule.
Take them off. Right. Clear some room up.
I think at the end of the day, you know, you're probably outside of, like, Houston collapsing or something like that. Like, I don't know how you're going to get both Memphis and Wichita State in. So why not, like, let them play each other, and maybe you'll get one of the two to get in. Because right now I think both of them are kind of, like, on the wrong side of the bubble.
That's where they are.
So to speak,
yep.
Maybe Wichita State is in because they had that win over Houston, and I'm sure the committee's going to look at it and be like, oh, we got an interim coach. They had everybody transfer out. Greg Marshall, blah, 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 whatever. So maybe that'll get them a little bit of juice with the committee. But, like, Memphis needs those games. You know, and if you're really being honest about wanting to help out the teams in the conference, like, that's what you would be doing. You would be forcing them to go play on the road instead of playing at home. So it's, I mean, look, I know that you guys are going to be mad about everything regardless of what it is, but I think you guys are justified in me being mad about this one.
Yeah. We are, of course, talking to Rob Doster. Catch him on the field of 68 Media Network, the best college basketball content really in the universe. On Twitter at Rob Doster. Okay, so now that we can move on from our lives, is there some way? Because we took calls, right? We took calls on this because that's what we have a 3-hour radio show. That's what you do. And I was kind of surprised to hear the reaction from Memphis fans who were saying, just go out there and beat them. Okay, you know, go out there, go to their place and beat them. Now we saw them against West Kentucky last night. They killed West Kentucky. They held them to 19 points in the second half. Do you give Memphis much of a shot of beating Houston at their place?
It's going to be tough. You know, Michigan Houston is a very, very good team. They are very good defensively. They are going to be getting back to full strength. They got Fabian White back. Right. You know, they are extremely well coached. They kind of match up with Memphis in terms of the versatility and the athleticism and the way that they kind of play like four guards, perimeter players if they need to. And you can make the argument that all of their guards are better than Memphis guards. So it's going to be a difficult matchup. Now, that said, we've seen Houston lose, too. I'm going to count them all for you. Ready? Tulsa, East Carolina, and Wichita State. So it's not like this team is incapable of being beaten. No, East Carolina, like, I honestly didn't even know East Carolina was having a season this year. Like, I did not think about them once all season until they beat Houston. And that tells you all you need to know about whether or not they can actually be gotten. So to answer your question, yes, I think they do have a chance. You know, it's not going to be easy, but there's a reason why top five teams are top five teams. You know, why top 10 teams are top 10 teams. So if you want to get in the tournament, like you made your bet. You got to go out and win that game, or you have to go out and win the American tournament. And in the American tournament, you're probably going to have to go out and beat Houston again. So that's basically what it's going to come down to for Memphis, I think, is they got to get a win over them, whether it's in the regular season or in the conference tournament. At some point, you have to beat Houston if you want to get into the dance.
All right, last four, John, because they got him giddy at this point. He's writing about them at this point. I think he actually covers Michigan now. But that was, I have to give it to him, that's quite a performance last night against the top 10 team in Iowa, and they blew him off the court. The question is, and it sounds like I'm hearing the same answer from everybody now, and it's me that's had to come over. I'm curious where you were. They're right there with Baylor and Gonzaga, it feels like to me. Rob, are they? Is there a line between those two? I mean, certainly with Baylor coming off the pause, right, and playing, you know, we saw that Iowa State game, you'd have to put Michigan with them right now. Are they all? Could Michigan, you know, win the whole damn thing? Beat Gonzaga?
I mean, I guess they could. Look, I'm the same way as you guys, because I look at that roster and I say, okay, you need great guards to win in March, right? And, like, Mike Smith has been good, but he ain't Jalen Suggs, and he ain't Jared Butler.
Right, right.
Like, Eli Brooks is good, but he ain't Corey Kispert. He's not Davion Mitchell. Like, The backcourts for Baylor and Gonzaga both have like two guys that could be first team All-Americans, legitimately could be first team All-Americans. And I don't even think that they got an all-conference guy on Michigan's backcourt. Hunter Dickinson, right? Like, he is as old school big as it gets. He's basically Bill Laimbeer. He's got the hair on the back of his arms coming in. Like, he looks like he was born in 1980. He's built for that. He's built for Big Ten basketball. Like, he's not a guy that's going to go out and guard the perimeter. He's not a guy that's shooting jump shots. And it's perfect when you go up against Luka Garza, because like Luka Garza, like, he plays like a bull in a china shop, and you're not like Hunter Dickinson's not going anywhere.
Right.
It's like me trying to box out a brick wall. Like, it's just nothing's going to happen. You're not moving him. So it worked against Iowa, but my question has always been like, that's not modern basketball. Like, how is that going to work when you play teams that play modern basketball? I'm like, you know what? It hasn't mattered so far. So at some point, I kind of just have to say, like, you know, maybe they are good enough to overcome the fact that there's going to be mismatch disadvantages. And you know, maybe the simple fact, and look, I hate more than anything giving Gary Parrish credit for something. But he's really good at kind of cutting through the nonsense and making something that makes sense. So he had a tweet the other day. He was like, Michigan has a bunch of kids where they have like three or four different guys that can beat you. The three best players are going to play in the NBA. They're very well coached. They defend, they play hard, and they play together. And at some point, you just kind of have to accept the fact, like, hey, you know what? That just might be good enough to win it all, even if it's not, you know, the most ideal modern basketball roster.
I mean, look, you're exactly right. I mean, I look at that team, and they can shoot the ball, and they can score on you there with Dickinson inside. And then they guard you like Memphis. I mean, I know the numbers aren't as good as Memphis's, but, like, that team guards you like a dog, man. And so because of that, I absolutely believe that they will be heard from. They will be there late. They're too disciplined. Now, the question I have for you is, like, everybody we've talked to about Michigan always wants to say, oh, well, NBA, NBA, NBA. Is that the sense you get about Juwan? Is that he would want to parlay this into a job in the NBA, or do you think he's happy at Michigan?
I mean, I think eventually he wants to get an NBA coaching job, right? Like, when you've spent 25 years in the NBA as a player or assistant coach, like, I'm sure that the dream is to be an NBA head coach one day. I don't think that he's like, okay, I need to start interviewing with jobs because this is going to come open and that's going to come open and maybe I have a shot at the Timberwolves, like, whatever it is. Like, I'm sure that's not going through his head. Will he one day coach in the NBA? I'm assuming yes. He's going to be a head coach in the NBA at some point because, like, he's too good. He's a great X's and O's guy. He is someone that doesn't have a big enough ego where, like, he can't hire the right people to get help around him. Literally everybody likes him. One thing that you should try to do is, like, find somebody that has had a bad interaction with Juwan Howard at some point. You know, players love him. I do a podcast with a guy named Deshaun Butler who played in the Heat organization when Juwan Howard was there. He just raves about him. He's like, he's the best guy. He'll help all of the younger guys, even if it has nothing for him. He helps the people that are coming for his job. You know, he's the best resource for young players in the NBA. When you got a guy like that, like, of course you want him in an NBA organization. Of course you want him running the team. But you got to remember, like, this is a guy that played for Michigan. He played for the Fab Five. There's a connection there that goes beyond, like, just a job. So I would not be shocked to see him hang around college basketball for a while, and I'm not going to be shocked when he eventually does get a head coaching job in the NBA because he is just that good. You know, it's the same thing as talking about some of these guys that are like one and done. It's like, yeah, you know, they're having a great time playing in college, and it's not that they don't like it, but, you know, at some point when the NBA comes calling, like, that's what the dream is. You know, you don't for a lot of these players, they don't dream about going and playing in the NCAA tournament. They dream about playing against LeBron. Or playing against Chris Paul, or playing against guys in the NBA. And I'm sure that at some point that's going to be something that happens with Juwan. But just circling back on Michigan, you know what it kind of reminds me of a little bit? This reminds me of the 2015 season where we had, like, a Kentucky team that was head and shoulders above everyone else. And then everyone was excited about the Wisconsin team that had Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker. And, you know, we kind of forgot a little bit about Duke at some point in the middle of the season. And, you know, it just so happened that, hey, they got hot at the right time. They got the benefit of, like, I don't even know if I can call it an upset, but a benefit of that Kentucky team losing in the Final Four. And then, boom, you get to the national title game, and you got to win one game. You know, you get to the Final Four, you got to go 2-0 in a weekend, and anybody can go 2-0 against anyone if things go right for them. So that's kind of what, like, it's reminding me of a little bit.
Rob, let me ask you this. Better to be an NCAA tournament replacement team that, I guess, it won't play once the thing gets started, but you'll be there at the beginning in case somebody has to bow out due to COVID or whatever else, or NIT. You know, and I realize it's a different NIT. I think I've seen maybe the reports change, but last I saw 16 teams in New York. Yesterday, John was giving me the business for saying, hey, I might take NIT just because I want to play, you know, and don't take the chance. But his thing is, well, this you're still an NCAA tournament team. Where should we come down on this? Where do you come down on it?
If I was one of the players, like, I would not want to play in the NIT. You know, like, well, I guess it would be different if you're someone like a mid-major. Like, let's say Belmont, for example.
Uh-huh.
They don't go out. They don't win their league tournament. They don't get an at-large bid. And they go to the NIT. Like, that's different because it's a mid-major team. You're getting the chance to go up against the big boys. You're playing in Madison Square Garden. You don't get to do that every day. If I'm Memphis and I play every game in an NBA arena and I have guys that are going to end up playing in the NBA and you know, I'm playing for Penny Hart, like, you're used to the spotlight, so to speak. And you play on – every time you play, it's national television. So I probably would not want to play in the NIT. Just, like, think about the season that these kids have been through. Think about how long it's been. Like, they've basically gone 6 months without really being able to have, like, any kind of semblance of a remotely normal life. Like, they can't go see family. They're not traveling. Like, and I know nobody's doing that, but, you know, it's a little bit looser when you don't have to get tested every single day. You know, when one positive test couldn't bring down an entire team. So knowing what they've been through, like, do you want to keep it going just to go play in the NIT? You know, do you want to put your kids through that more? Or do you want to give them the chance to, like, maybe your season's done, but maybe you get a chance to actually play in the NCAA tournament. I think I would rather take the replacement team route, personally. But, I mean, I get the teams that will want to go the other way.
Yeah. Rob, man, great stuff as always.
You're the best, sir.
We appreciate the time. Have a great weekend,
thanks,
man.
Brother.
Hey, look, I haven't gotten a shot yet. So if you find one on Facebook, John, let me know.
Yeah, I will do. I'll hit you up immediately. All right? I'll flip it to you for $1,200. Thanks, brother.
Later, guys.
Yep. He is Rob Doster from the Field of 68. Yeah, you gonna.
I've been on quite a roll when I'd left it up to, you know, the mediator here of late.
That's right.
And this is the first one you've won in a while.
Lisa Piercy is on an absolute rampage.
Who?
She is the health commissioner of the state of Tennessee.
Oh, yes.
And she is on an absolute rampage against
about the way we did it down here.
She says that she has reported the handling of the COVID vaccine doses in Memphis. In Shelby County, I should say, to the FBI. So now the FBI is getting involved with what's gone down in Shelby County. And what a shame. I mean, honestly, right? Like, what a shame. That I know people who have gone to DeSoto County because they can't, you know.
Well, and it makes you wonder if some of these shots in arms, what, you know, especially if people paid for them, what's the behind the music on them? Or where are they going? And what, I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Only in Memphis in the movies, man.
It's a real shame because it doesn't sound like there are other metropolitan areas the size of Memphis that are struggling the way that Memphis is. I mean, oh, brother. But that's the latest. The waste and the theft of the vaccines has been reported to the FBI. And so now we shall see. All right, at 1 o'clock, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna come up with some of the best. Since y'all so fired up, we're gonna come up with some of the best sports speeches, best, you know, sports movie speeches. I've got one. Jason's got one. Says Hoosier still gives him chills to this day.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I gotta tell you, brother, was that before like you had friends or anything like that? I mean, when did that happen?
That's probably before surround sound and all that. Back on, you know, little.
I mean, there are some
that
movies,
TV on the floor.
There are some movies that are great.
Nah, I think once you hear it, you'll probably not. As the guy that just likes to laugh at older people.
No, I mean, I think
you won't. Maybe you won't have the proper reverence and respect elders that you should have.
It was
basically the kid that went off on Cam. That's basically who you are.
Man, stop.
Yes, you are. You are the kid that went off on Cam. That is your.
Well,
act.
Cam used to be better. That is true.
And you poor. See him. He was exaggerating. You poor. You're gonna be a free agent. That's what you do. You exaggerate.
You cannot sit up here and try to tell me that Hoosiers holds up, bro.
The movie absolutely holds up. They didn't have a chance. It's like David versus Goliath hold up, fool? Does that old story hold up?
It's in the Bible.
Because it's that.
So we're comparing Hoosiers to the Bible?
It's the David versus Goliath story is what I'm telling you. And that's essentially it. Yes, that story will always hold up.
The reason
now,
why
Gene and the Sound, and this was an 80s
actually
movie.
Is a, I did a paper on Hoosiers in college. That won't surprise you. There's a story of redemption that's actually very comparable to the Bible in that movie. Redemption is a big, big recurring theme in the movie,
but,
very much like the Bible.
I could also use my Denzel and Glory. The problem
Denzel
is
and Glory is a good
they
example.
Die. We yeah. know they yeah, die
they
in
do,
that
they
one.
Do
they don't win.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find a pregame speech that actually led to a victory because Jimmy and them, they won. Jimmy Chitwood.
Are there any black people in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Hoosiers?
Yes.
That's who they play is a black team that's got all these athletes on it, and ain't no way these white boys can win.
Yeah.
Now you
it's
know
the other way around
now you know
than the history you're used to, where, yes, the team they played in the state championship had brothers, man, that were dunking all over their faces. And Jimmy Chitwood is just straight fundamentals and shooting. And they had to Gene had to win with that. Straight five passes, all white dudes.
I mean, if you – I'm sorry. Like, if you grew up in the 90s and the 2000s, like, there's no way you can relate to anything in this
movie.
It
is because it's still David Goliath. I could go to Fairleigh Baseball and play this before they play Collierville, and it would stand up. They would still understand it because it's David versus Goliath, the Bible story they grew up with. That's what Hoosiers is essentially based in.
So
now, don't try to tear mine apart before we get to it.
Is that your submission, man? Is that it?
Don't let me examine yours before we get to the segment either, because we could tear yours apart.